I don't guess it's just up just a little while ago. I didn't know how to go about this. I normally, wherever my ribbon's at, my Bible's what I read for my reading lesson. And I really feel like I need to read somewhere different. And I just want the Lord to receive honor and glory. Our thought is, I have sinned. And y'all have heard me say this before. My mama, when they was kids, they'd come home from school and their teacher had found lice on their head. That was years ago, you'd imagine. It'd been a little one-room building school. But they come home and they was all upset because they had the lice. And my mama told me what Pa told them. He told them, said, there's no shame in having lice. The shame is not doing something about it. And we all are sinners. We were born into sin. We've come into the world. We come forth from our mother's womb telling lies. I mean, we're sinners. The shame is not doing something about it. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want to tell you that's your problem. You're not doing something about it. But I want you to know, as Hilltop Church, that's a whole lot of our problem. We don't do nothing about it. I want you to know, as you as an individual, that's your problem. You don't do much about it. I want you to know, as our nation, that's our problem. We have sinned, but we don't want to face that. We want to do it secretly. We want to do it in low. Our neighbors don't know about it, or somebody at church don't know about it, it's okay. But I want you to know God knows about it. And I want you to know it's not okay. I find all through the Bible there's always going to be a price for sin. So if you think you've got away with something, it may take months. It could take years, but you're going to pay for it. I believe if you've been saved by God's grace, you'll pay for it while you walk here on earth. I believe that. I believe if you've never been saved, you're going to pay for it in eternity in hell. So today we're going to talk about very familiar scriptures. And David had sinned a great sin against Uriah. He had saw Bathsheba bathing, and boy, he desired her. And that's the way we are. We talked about maybe a little bit last week about him getting distracted in that. And I want you to realize he called for her to come to him, and she did, and he lay with her. She got pregnant with a child, a little innocent baby. Had nothing to do with none of that. That woman had a husband that was out fighting the battle that David supposed to have been fighting. He had nothing to do with that, and that man lost his life because of what David had done. David ended up having him sent to the front lines, and he was killed. David committed murder trying to cover up his sin. I want you to know God knows about your sin today. And he's going to bring it to your remembrance. It might be some preacher stand up and preach and bring it to your remembrance. And you'll remember. But it may be just God just convicts you and brings you down. Sometime or another you're going down the road. Sometime you're laying in your bed at night. And all of a sudden, he brings to your remembrance and he lets you know that you've not gotten away with nothing. But I'm so thankful that he is just to forgive us. I'm thankful when we go to him, he's good to us. And I want you to realize the only way I know how good God is the things he's done for me. And one of those things is forgiveness. I don't know about y'all, but I had a good friend one time. He drove all night one time, was knocking on my door early in the morning and had standing there to open the door, and he could tell he'd been up all night and he was worn down. And he told me, he said, I've got to talk to you. And he come in and we sat there and we both sat there and we was able to both forgive each other. We was both able to apologize to one another for things we had said and done. And I want you to know, I just felt like the whole world was lifted off of me. When I got to that point, when I was able to look him in the eye and say, please forgive me. And he said, I do. And I believe he felt the same way. I want you to know that's a whole other weight when you get saved that comes off of you is forgiveness. He takes that away. But I want you to realize, you have to realize you have sinned. And you've got away with anything. And I don't know who needs to hear this. Maybe just me. But I want you to know, I think we live in a time now where everybody thinks everything's okay. Everybody's doing it. Eve took of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and then Adam did. Everybody was doing it. What was wrong with it? Everybody else was doing it. And that's where we're at in today's time. We're living in the time when the Bible said that men would call good evil and evil good. We're living in a time where nobody wants to recognize they're sinners and they have sinned against the Lord. So David, he feels like he's got away with it. Everything's fine. Uriah's dead. There's no one to come up and say, this is your baby, not Uriah. Your baby, not Uriah's. He thinks he's got everything covered up, took care of. He is in good shape. Then he sends the preacher, the prophet. Here comes Nathan. And he lets David know that your sin's not been forgotten. His sins have been months. We'll read it to you. The baby, I believe the child had done been born. It had at least been 9 months, maybe 10, 12 months. I don't know how long this had went on. David thinking he's got it whooped. He's in good shape. But I want you to realize you may go for years. I've heard Brother Marty talk about with Josh. He promised him a whooping one time, and they got home from church, and he'd forgot it. And Josh didn't get the whooping, and Josh got to thinking he'd got away with it. And then a few weeks later, they was up on a barn somewhere. And they was just talking and laughing, and something was said, and it was brought to Marty's remembrance. And he said, oh, by the way, I owe you a whooping. And they climbed down off the barn. I've heard them both tell it. And Marty gave him what was coming to you. I want you to know today, you may go for weeks, you may go for months, but it's coming home. There's going to be a price for sin. David, he numbered the children of Israel once. You would think, what is wrong with that? I want you to know, he was concerned about going into battle. He wanted to make sure he had plenty enough men to fight the battle. So he numbered Israel. God never was worried about the number. And he said the great sin, and there was many innocent people died because of the sin David done. He said then, I've sinned against the Lord. And I want you to know, until we realize there's going to be storm after storm, hurricane after hurricane, this nation has sinned against God. We're killing babies left and right. We're marrying men and men, women and women, and we're saying it's okay. And I want you to know, there's always going to be a price for sin. You ain't going to get away with nothing. America, I've grew up in the greatest time this country's ever seen. We have prospered in every way. I grew up in a time where we was able to have things. One day, just like these people woke up from this storm, a lot of them woke up and their family gone. Their homes gone, their cars gone, their jobs gone, everything gone. One of these days, we're going to wake up in America. Innocent children are going to pay for what we're doing. We're going to wake up one of these mornings, and everything's going to be gone, and he's going to be just in doing it. There'll be people voting November will vote knowing they're supporting all that kind of mess, and they think it's okay. David didn't kill Uriah. He didn't go over and stick a sword in his side. But I want you to know, Paul didn't kill Stephen, but he was right there ascended unto the death. I want you to realize, honey, you be careful how you vote and what you vote for. I didn't know all that was coming. It don't make no difference. We've got to realize somebody has to be a Nathan. Somebody has to stand up and say, you have sinned. God has blessed you in every way. He's given you everything that you need. And if you didn't have that, He'd make a way for you to have it. I'll read it to you in a minute. And yet you went on and you sinned against me, the Lord. And that's what He tells him. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he'd brought up and nursed, and he grew up together with him and with his children, did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom. And was unto him a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spread to take of his own fur, to take of his own flock. Y'all excuse me, I'm tore up, I can't hardly read. And of his own herd, and dressed for a well-faring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger. I want you to know, when I talk about somebody killing babies, I used to go up to jail. Y'all hold on. Y'all help me a minute. Pray for me. I'd go up there and they'd want to confess to me their sins, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'd tell them, please don't tell me some of these things, because I want you to know, if you tell me you've molested a child, you've done some harm to a child, I know it's just sin. But me personally, it would be hard for me to hear. It would be hard for me to look at you the same. And David was no different. I want you to realize, when David heard these things, he was a shepherd. And I want you to know, the Lord had Nathan tell him about things he knew. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, this man hath done this thing, shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. And I want you to realize that until we get it, until we understand that we are the man, we're going to have a hard time getting rid of the lies. Because you can't get rid of them till you realize you've got them. And then once you realize you have them, you got to do something about it. And the only thing we can do about our sin is take it to God and repent and ask Him to help us. Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and the master's wives. Into thy bosom I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Has he not been good to us? Has he not supplied us with all of our needs? And anything we lack, He makes sure we get it. But yet we sin against Him. We turn against Him. And then we expect Him to bless it. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to thy wife. And thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. And for thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun. And David said, unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, listen to me, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion unto the enemies. All the enemies was talking about what was happening at David's household. And of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child, Uriah's wife, bare unto David. And he was very sick. And I'm going to stop reading there. I will find where David prayed and prayed that God might be merciful and save the child alive. But I want you to realize God kept his promise unto David. There was a price for the sin. And I want you to know, an innocent baby, I died because of David's sin. Innocent babies are dying around us solid today, all over this nation, because of our sin and the things we voted in to do. It's not against the law to kill a little innocent baby. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us that somebody claims to be a man of God, a stand in front of an altar and marry a man to a man? What is wrong with us? Surely what we do in secret, he sees it. And we say it's not sin. But you can say it all you want to. You can live how you want to. But if God says it's sin, then brother, it's sin. Y'all pray for us. This is what I was going to read for my reading. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declaring to you. 1 John chapter 1, start in verse 5. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want you to realize today, you can say all you want to that I've not sinned against the Lord. And I want you to realize today, I don't care if you're doing the best you can, you are a liar. There's none of us without sin. The only way, the only thing that knows sin about us is what dwells in us, and that is Him. And He cannot sin. We're living in a land of denial. Our pulpits are full of men that live in the land of denial. You'll say, Brother Jeff, you get up here and tell us way too much stuff on yourself. I've heard people say you run yourself down too much. He does about me don't count. Except what He's done for me. I am a sinner, and I realize that. But I tell you this, constantly I'm asking Him to forgive me. I want you to realize, honey, just because you got a pastor, you got a preacher, don't mean he's perfect. There ain't nothing don't count about me for what, except for what dwells in me. But I want you to realize, so are you. But our problem is when we will not recognize that. When we don't feel the life itching, does your sin not itch at you? Does it not nag at you, constantly scratching at it, feeling it's crawling, it's working up in you? Does it not bother you? Have you forgot about it? As a nation, we have. We're just going right along. Everything's good. He flies planes. He takes our enemies and flies planes into buildings. People pray for a little while, and then all of a sudden, it's over. Cities burn. Boy, ain't that awful. We'll pray for a little while. Then it's past. Storms come. We lose our homes. You say, well, the devil does all that. I want you to know something. Sometimes the devil does do things, but he does not have power to do anything unless God gives it to him. You think about Job, what happened to him. The only reason that hedge come down is because God allowed it to. And I want you to realize the hedge is falling out from around us. Our churches, the hedge has failed. Satan is in them. He's distracted us with everything in the world. And not only have we sinned, now we don't even want to recognize it being sin. We just go on about our business. And then when it finally comes down that He chastens, He takes us out there. There was all there in the corner of the house. There was all smoke shed there. Daddy told me a million times. Out that old back door, and I heard that screen door slam. Y'all remember them? I won't take you back to back when used to. You got your attention. Had them old storm doors, them old long springs on them, they're made of wood. They'd go through them doors when they let them go. She'd go boom and then bounce a time or two. Right, and you'd hear that spring rattle. Heard them any time. He slung that old door open. He took me out there to hear a door go spat. Behind that, old smokehouse. He tell me, go get you a switch. And you better get a good one. Because if you didn't, he went and got one. You wished you'd got what he wanted to start with. There comes a time He's going to get our attention. I grew up. We grew up. Brother Teddy sent me a big old cookie. He come by the other day in the dump truck. I was in the bathroom getting ready. Sheila come in there and had a great big old cookie. And he said, Brother Teddy said to shower. I didn't sin on that one. I let her and the grandbaby both have some. We grew up in a time where we have big cookies. We have everything we want to eat. We've got nice vehicles. We've got nice homes. We've got farms. We've got good jobs. We've got all this stuff. I talk about when I was a little boy. I mean, it was a little tough there when I was a little boy. We wasn't rich by no means, but we was richer than I thought we was. All my life, it's just always been food. It's always been cars. It's always had a place to lay my head. We've talked about how we've prospered. I'm afraid if we don't change, these babies is going to grow up. And they're going to be my age, and they're going to talk about a time when they had everything. And then it was gone. Why was it gone? Because the eats just didn't bother us enough. We just wasn't willing to do nothing about it. We wouldn't recognize our sin. I want to go read to you. We use this man for example a whole lot, and we talk about him, but I want to tell you right now, we're not much different. Behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Why callest thou me good?" I can tell you why I'm calling good. This young man here, he was living upon his own righteousness. He was thinking he'd never done nothing wrong. He thought he was good. He'd kept the commandments, and we'll tell you that. He didn't realize. He didn't know how good he was. He asked him, "Why callest thou me good?" I won't tell you why I can call him good. There's been times in my life, just like my daddy, he's given me spankings. He's put me in the fire to where I can come out to be stronger. I want you to know some of the things that y'all went through here, I don't understand. I don't think everything happens to people is because of chastisement of God. Sometimes it's just for the honor and glory of God. It's not to the sin of the parents. It's not the sin of the individual. Sometimes it's just for honor and glory of God. Sometimes, just like with Job, it was to show, it wasn't to prove to the devil, it was to show Job what he was. And I promise you, after Job went through that, the next time he was put in the fire, he knew God was going to be there. I want you to realize when we go through these things, he is strengthening us to help us make us stronger. And then we'll realize how good he is. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, "Thou shalt not do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And he'd failed at them. He may not have believed he had, but he had. And the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet?" He's saying, I've always kept the commandments. I've never sinned. If a man says he's not sinned, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And this is where this young man was. And I want you to know our churches are sitting full of self-righteous people today that believe, "I'm not sinned. I've not done nothing wrong." This nation right now thinks we've not done nothing wrong. Our pulpits is full of preachers thinking I've not done nothing wrong. I want you to know your sins will be shouted from the housetop. You know, after we got outside and We was in the parking lot. We put speakers up here on the corner, on the housetop. God sent a man like Nathan to come and stand outside and preach, and our sins were shouted from the housetop. You may not faith. We'll just keep going, rich young ruler. What he lacked was forgiveness. What he lacked was repentance. David, after Nathan came to him, he repented. I'm not saying I'm Nathan. I'm not a prophet. You saying, well, you've been saying all these things is going to happen. You rest assured they're going to happen if we don't change. I don't have to be a prophet to tell you what's coming. The Bible tells me what's coming. Perilous times are coming. But God gives room for repentance. Amen. David, I've read this over and over through the years. And if you read it, we quote some of these scriptures when we're preaching to the lost during revivals. David was a saved man when he wrote this. I want you to realize the shape he got into. Psalms 51, and I'm going to read one more little verse after this. I know I've read a lot, but I want us to get it. Amen. It says up there in the top, it ain't the word of God, but it says the chief physician, a psalm unto David when Nathan the prophet come unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Y'all pray for us. This is after Nathan had come to him. This is what David prayed. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And this is the same man that tried to hide this. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. He acknowledged it. That is our problem. And my sin is forever before me. The Lord told him it would be. The sword would never leave his house. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Had done this evil in thy sight, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I ain't talking about his soul anymore. He's talking about his flesh. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This is a saved man. Restore unto me to this world. This Brother Walter into the dismissal prayer last Sunday, he quoted this scripture, and it's haunted me all week. God said, you've got to preach. You've got to tell my people. Amen. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, your salvation, and uphold me and thy free spirit, that I will teach transgressors thy ways, and
and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He couldn't do it. That's what he told Peter. He said, when thou art converted, when you get things straightened up between me and you, then you go teach the brother. David had to get things straight with God. Have we not lost the joy of thy salvation? You want to know why we don't have revivals like we used to? You want to know why our nation is falling apart all around us? You want to know? It's our sins that we've done secretly. We think nobody's watching. We can do it in our privacy of our own home. Nobody knows about it. God knows about it. We can go stand in front of a voting machine and nobody can see. They got curtains all around me. I can vote, kill babies. My homosexual marriage is okay. I can click that button over and over. Nobody can see it. It's done and secretly it's okay. You say, get your politics out of church. I want you to know politics don't need to be in church, but church needs to be in politics. If I don't tell you it's wrong, then I'm guilty. It's my job to stand up here and tell you what you do in secret shall be shouted from the housetops. We can just have this attitude. We can go away sorrowfully. I've kept your commandments from my youth. I've never done nothing wrong. Or we can feel the itch. I don't reckon I've ever had lice. Don't reckon. The kids come home with it once, give it to Sheila, I throw her under the bus, I reckon. But they went and got something, some kind of ointment or something, some kind of comb. And they was crying, the kids was. And she was upset. And I told them the story. Paul Burness Freeman told my mama years ago, there's no shame in having lies. The shame is not doing something about it. We're all sinners. And I ain't saying there ain't shame in sin, and it is. It really is. But we're all sinners. But the shame is not doing something about it. So we could go away sorrowfully today and just keep going right down the same old road. Just like that rich young man. Or we could be like David. We could humble ourselves and get such a shape that we just felt almost like we was when we was lost. And we could repent and turn from our sinful ways and he will heal our land. Or we just wait for the next storm to come. The next baby. You can believe what you want, but he sent me here today to preach this to you. And I don't think it's no mistake that you're here. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? If you're lost, seek the Lord. He will forgive you. I've got to read this. Amen. And then I promise I'll be done. I done shut my book. I can't. I got to. 86 Psalm, he said, the same man David speaking, for thou, Lord, art good. In the fifth verse, 86 Psalm, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Plenteous, all kinds of mercy. That's what he's saying. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to my voice for my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. He said, oh, because of this, I'll call on him all my life. I found trouble and sorrow. He said, you're good, Lord. You're full of mercy. He hadn't only saved his soul, but when he got in so much trouble, he had nowhere else to go. God forgave him. He blotted it out. Boy, you may not ever have been there since you got saved, but I have. I've had to come to an old altar and just fall down on my knees and say, God, please have mercy on me. Oh, I've sinned against thee, Lord. Please forgive me. Don't let everybody around me pay for my sin. Please, Lord. Every person that forgets God, along with every nation, shall be turned into hell. Please, God, don't let us forget you. Our nation's going to hell. And we're not willing to do nothing about it. That's my message. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord.